This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome in. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It is, it's good to be alive and breathing and with my friends here and all of you tier ones out there, certainly in, by the way, America's finest city. I mean, this could be so much worse. We could be in some dump and have a bad baseball team. We just have one of those two. At least we live here. And could always be worse. That's how I look at it. Could always be worse. I still love baseball. It's waning. Watching this team, it's waning a little bit. But we are here together. We'll get through it as we always do. I'd like to have some laughs today. Like to break some balls today, like to have some fun, share some things, as we normally do here on Ben and Woods. But people are already filling up the chat. I love it. Already arguing. It's fantastic. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's our executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing very well. We are out of toner in the printer.
Fixed.
It's fixed. Okay, all right. I'll settle down. All right.
Get through one segment. Beloved rundown that you have a digital copy every morning.
I'm looking at the digital one. It's not the same. As you know, I like to hold it in my hands and finger it every morning.
Are you Don Orsillo with the paper snap of confidence over there?
That's exactly right. I just need it. I need the physical copy. Benjamin Higgins, your friend.
I alerted our engineers. I said, Woodsy's going to go on a rampage.
He's going to lose his mind.
Toner filled immediately, Mike.
Yeah, 100%. And Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor and masochist, is here as well.
Good morning.
You still enjoy getting lit cigarettes put out on you virtually every night on Twitter. It's just every time I see one, I go, he's at it again. Here he is. He's tied to
a gimp mask.
He's tied to a table, and there is a lady next to him, and she is, okay, you little bitch.
Hot candle
putting
wax.
cigarette out on his chest, and he's laying there going, oh, yes, I need it. Yes, could you grind your...
Could you grind
your high heels into me right now, please? And then he's just like, oh, God, that was good. Oh, my God.
Whew. Do it again.
Do it again. More, 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 more. You are something else, my friend. You are something else.
Just like to point out...
Yeah, I know.
Interesting.
I know you love this.
Odd factoids. That's all I like to do.
Yes, with a little bit of masochistic tendencies in there, which is okay. I'm not here to kink shame you at all. I'm a big fan of your kinks. And it goes directly into this story that I'm about to tell you.
Interesting.
So yesterday, got out of here, and we went and did something as a show. We'll talk about that at 8. It was, let's just say it was our pretty woman moment, okay? So let that run around in your brain for a while. Really, really fun day. Got to spend some time together outside of the show, which is always fun for us. So I race home. Bo's at baseball camp. So I race home. I got about 45 minutes to go home, and I didn't do that. I just had to, I don't know, just like relax for 45 minutes, get some stuff in order, and then head down to his baseball camp. But I walk in, and my kitchen is, my wife, it was clean as a whistle. Nothing out of the ordinary, except for this workbook that I found on the counter that I've actually brought in today.
Haven't seen a workbook in a long time.
Correct, right? So I said to myself, well, let me.
So I says to the guy.
So I says, I look at the workbook, I pick it up, and I go, Birds plus Bees plus Your Kids, a guide to sharing your beliefs about sexuality, love, and relationships. So I pick it up.
It's time for the talk already.
I throw it down.
Is it time for the talk? I feel like you're a little early for the talk.
And I go, what is she doing? We have so much going on this summer. There's camps, this is not the time. So I put it out of my mind. I go down to watch Bo do camp. He does a great job at camp. Then Hannah takes him to the dentist. I pick up Taylor. I take Taylor to his T-ball clinic. He says, I was going all day. I was running around, baseball. It was fun. The kids loved it. They had a great time. So we get home, and I go, hey, by the by, what is this? And she goes, oh. She goes, your son. And I go, what do you mean, my son? So in our neighborhood, we have one of those little boxes that has books in it. And you put some books in, you can take a book out.
Oh, yeah, a public mini library. Yeah. Like it. Yeah. And we have one of those, too, actually.
And it's pretty cool. It's down by where my wife walks the dog. So Taylor goes down for dog walks, and he goes in, and he likes to look at the books. So this little SOB grabs this book. My three-year-old grabs this book.
Oh, my God.
Hannah doesn't notice. It is basically just like, oh, he got a book. It looks like a coloring book or something. She goes, I didn't even know what it was till he got it home, and I started laughing. And I'm like, oh, the relief I felt, because what I didn't want to happen was this. Hey, guys, sit down. I know you both got out of baseball camp. Dinner's mom's got dinner coming. While we're here, let me get to this workbook, and we'll just open up to...
Let's do some homework.
Yeah, well, here we go. All right, we'll open this up here.
I feel like I may learn something in this segment
still. You may. Just open this book here. All right, kids. What do you think about girls who offer sex to boys they barely know? Taylor, go ahead. Bo, your thoughts? I'm looking.
Is there like a space to write your answer?
Oh, yeah. It's like a thing.
Okay.
Hey, guys, what was the message you received in childhood about self-stimulation and masturbation?
Carlos says, what psychopath put that in there?
Some deviant is in my neighborhood handing out sex workbooks for my kids to see? Right? So, I mean, I'm looking through this thing.
It sounds like healthy talk, at least. Are there illustrations?
There are no illustrations.
Okay, see?
All right, here we go. I'll just read from the book. Here's a simple script you can use with your kids when they're engaging in any type of sexual play. Even if you catch your teenager in the living room, having sex, please be sure to make these words your own. Sounds like our sales department. Hey, just make this your own. I'm going to give you bullet points. Just make this spot your own.
Put your own spin on it.
Put your own spin on this.
Make it spooky.
Yeah, make it spooky. All right, your tone should be calm, even if you're completely freaked out. Because your kids want you to know you can handle anything. All right, step one, describe the behavior. I see you and Billy are looking at each other's penises.
Oh, my God.
Step two, describe your reaction. I feel uncomfortable when this happens. Why don't you pull up your pants and let's go play outside? We'll talk about this later.
What?
Ask yourself, what just happened here? What is my intuition telling me? Ask yourself, what do I need to do next? If the behavior continues, start with, I've told you this before. This needs to stop and we'll talk about this later. Literally, I'm reading it verbatim right now. About you.
Pull up your pants and let's go outside and talk. I was not ready
for
this.
Here we go. Here's
another one. I was not prepared for this.
Can't we just do what most parents do and awkwardly ignore everything and never speak of it again?
Correct.
Holy crap.
Teenagers these days, this is a real paragraph. Teenagers these days are engaging in a lot of sexual behavior that can be adult-like and quite startling to parents. For example, imitating on the dance floor is called freak dancing or sex dancing. I did not know that. And it's happening at nearly every middle and high school dance. This is when the boy stands behind the girl who, while dancing, provocatively bends over as the boy is dancing and sometimes rubbing against her. It looks like sex, a lot like sex, is what this says. This is my three-year-old grabbed this home and brought that, and that's in the...
You need to find out who left that book there. I need security cameras. You have an absolute maniac living in your neighborhood.
I can't even imagine. Like, all right, here, I'm going to give you this book. Go fill this out. Bring it back to me. We'll go over your answers. Like, oh, my God, man. So there was a multitude of feelings that I had when I came home because
there's just no age, though. I mean, your kids are obviously much too young, but
yeah,
even
6 and 3,
even
is
an
too
age
young.
Appropriate 13-year-old or whatever it is, it's still not. It's not going to fly.
You
a
know,
workbook,
right?
Scenario.
It needs to be. Here's. You don't want to know how I've envisioned this conversation happening. You know, when Bo is about maybe 10, 11, and Taylor is about 7 or 8. Gents, I don't camp, but we're going camping. Okay? I do not camp, but we are going camping. And we make a fire, we're roasted marshmallows. I go, all right, fire away. What do you got? You like girls. I see you like girls. It's fine. Everything's cool. Or boys, whatever. What do we want to know here? Fire away. I'm your old man. Got some experience here. I'll tell you the ins and outs. No pun intended. Right? So, I don't know. Maybe that's just my sappy romantic.
Do you feel like
idea.
You know all the answers, though? Maybe,
I do.
Maybe.
I feel like I know all the answers.
You know all the answers.
Yeah, I feel like I know every answer.
Because your dad took you camping at some point and answered all your questions?
I do remember my dad took me in a room in like sixth grade and was like, all right. It was the most uncomfortable day of my life. And I've had some really uncomfortable days. That one was right up there for me. I think we're just going to take this back. Actually, I think I'm just going to throw this away.
Yes.
I think I'm just going to throw it away.
Yes.
Leave it here. If Braden or Scraby or Craig or anybody, they want to use it, they can. But I'm going to leave this here in the studio.
We will give it away at the Ben and Woods Open.
Ben and Woods Open. If anybody needs a sex book for their kids and learn about freak dancing and sex dancing. Oh, look at those two kids over there, sex dancing. Never heard that
it's
in my life.
The Lambada.
Yeah, the Lambada. The Lambada. Those damn kids in their Lambada.
My God.
Well, I figured we needed a little bit of levity today. When I saw that book, man, I go, how dare she? Why would she heap this on us this summer? Like, we have so many camps already. We're not doing this summer.
Also, Bo's six.
He's six. You mentioned he has a little friend that he has a little friend and she is obsessed with him. And they go on play dates and stuff. And I always give him the ooh, and he, shut up, Dad, shut up. And I'm like, all right. I go, you think it's bad now? Wait till you're actually dating. I'm going to be your biggest nightmare. But listen, a little levity is certainly needed.
Well, maybe we put it out on a poll or we just talk about it internally here. Do we want to talk about the Padres for the next 3 hours and 40 minutes? Or do we just want to read that entire book?
I could just read, and we could take your answers. You could call in, and we could fill out the workbook together. Yeah, I think the intentions behind it are good and pure, but maybe not the best book for my 3-year-old to grab out of the library. Maybe a Bluey book or something like that would have been better, but man, it was. I laughed so hard, dude, when I found out that, like, I go, she ordered this from Amazon and has left it out for me to see.
I don't think it's the worst idea for you to call the police and let them know that somebody left that book in there.
It's not like
I would not think that that's overreacting.
But it's not like how to practice BDSM at home. You know what I mean? Like, that would be a different story.
It's a very positive resource.
It is.
Perhaps for people.
It is, man. But holy crap, dude. Mm. It killed me.
I assume someone in your neighborhood had used it on their.
It's not filled out.
Well, they may have read through it with maybe their teen or something, and then they realized, I don't need this anymore, so let's see if someone else in my neighborhood can make good use of it.
Yeah, potentially. Potentially. I think there's probably good intentions behind it, but it really, really, it made me laugh. I needed it yesterday. It was a long and stressful day. Wasn't made any easier by our local baseball club, who continues to just get bodied. And you look at those two teams playing each other. That's what the hardest part for me has been, is watching that organization and going, oh, that must be fun. That's cool. Elite pitching, elite hitting, elite defense, elite, you know, ability to take base, whatever.
Like, they got thrown out of the base pass a couple times.
They did. But
dummies.
Right, morons.
Dummies.
But again, because of their elite hitting, and it overcomes all. They're a really, really good, well-run organization, and they've made a lot of really good decisions. And they, as we talked to Matt Strom yesterday, everyone in there knows the objective at hand. It doesn't need to be told to them and doesn't need to be reinforced to them. They know what they're there to do.
The media doesn't have to harp on them.
The media doesn't have to harp on them every day. Right. They just do what they have to do, and they know why they're there. And that's the thing is, like, if you use teams as a measuring stick, you look at that organization and go, okay, yeah, they're by no means a perfect or complete team, but you look at them and go, you're headed in the right direction. That's the underlying theme for me today. It's the dumbest, easiest answer ever. Are we headed in the right direction here in San Diego, or are we just backed in a corner, you know, forced to make panic moves every single year and then wait for the underperforming that will most certainly happen? That's how it feels.
Again, two shows ago, Friday, we were all fairly convinced the team was heading.
No, we weren't.
In a somewhat positive direction.
No, we weren't.
We weren't.
No, I said, we have like three of us on the roundtable said, no, there's no be sweeping the A's and having to do so on two walk-offs doesn't mean this team's turned a corner. It was nice to get their first sweep and get that monkey off their back, but
you absolutely should have.
You absolutely should have, but they didn't. They did not.
No kudos for doing your job.
Correct. Correct. So, yeah, it's definitely headed in the wrong direction at this point. Can it be remedied? Sure, it can. Will it? I don't think so, but we'll talk about it, and then some. It's a tough one.
All right, we will set the menu when we come back. Let you know what we've got in store on today's program. And we'll do that after a check of traffic with Kelly Danick. I was not expecting that in our four-play segment.
Glad I could help.
Literal four-play segment here.
Literally.
With Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Basketball Ben feels obligated to mention the NBA Finals did end last night with a Boston Celtics victory.
Yeah, Basketball Woods watched some of the game. That's how bad.
It was a horrible series.
Well, but that's how bad the Padres were.
That's true, too.
It drove me to the NBA Finals. And, you know, I watched them.
I text you guys. I was like, hey, Finals are on in 5 minutes at least.
Yeah, I watched them take...
Go ahead. Give us your takes.
Basketball Woods.
The music is playing. Basketball Woods. What'd you see? Do you agree with Jaylen Brown as the series MVP, or should it have gone to Tatum or even Holiday?
You know, I think it was a good choice. I really do. I think it was a good choice. I mean, you talk about a team. They talked all about in the post game being unselfish. You know, being unselfish, being an actual team. Rising. It is something, though, that you say after you win a championship. Hey, man, we didn't let the distractions get to us. We never hung our head. It's just player speak after you win a title. But no, I mean, look, they dominated. They dominated that game. They dominated every game but one. Congratulations to the Celtics. And hey, congrats to Boston for breaking that 5-year championship streak that they were on, I believe. I believe it was 5 years.
Wow.
Is that right?
The city of Boston not won one in 5 years.
Yeah, is that right? I think that's what I saw last night.
Who would have? Who won the last of the Patriots 5 years ago?
Bruins, maybe? Did the Bruins win one?
The Celtics hadn't won one since 2008,
yeah,
which was their first one since 1986. But now they have one more than the Lakers, 18-17.
5 long years for those Boston fans.
I don't know how they do it.
Maggie Perloff was arguing, hey, this is one of the great NBA teams of all time, like it or not. Perloff was not having any of it. He goes, I mean, how can you say that? You're not a dynasty at all. You win one. The recent trend is you win one and then you don't win another one for a while. It's been one-off champions year after year lately. But if you just look at one season, what the Celtics did in the regular season, they dominated all year long, and then they went 16-3 in the playoffs. I mean, you're talking about Jordan Bulls type territory, how good this particular team was. I have no idea if they'll reel off 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4, or this may be the only one. But this particular team, even though they didn't necessarily get tested by anyone in the postseason, you've got to acknowledge that they had one of the all-time seasons, at least, in NBA history.
Patriots in 18, Ben.
Yeah.
And also the Red Sox in 18. What a year.
What a year.
Yeah, so they'd gone, five seasons since winning a championship in the city of Boston. So
thoughts and prayers for
those childs up there, man, just getting after it. You know that place went crazy last night. It was never really a series. It never was a series.
It was horrible. It was
terrible.
It was a terrible NBA Finals. Yeah. There were two games that were within 10. The rest of them were complete blowouts. Even the one, the Dallas one, wasn't a good game at all. And you never felt like they had a chance in last night's game either. Terrible series. And the same can be said about the Stanley Cup Finals, assuming it ends tonight the same way, which would be after Edmonton blows out Florida in Game 4 to keep it alive, Florida will come back tonight and win easily, and that'll be it. And we'll be done with basketball and hockey season post-haste. All right, here's what we've got coming up on the program today. Obviously, we'll wrap up yesterday's 9-2 loss to the Phillies. I think one of the more interesting elements, though, is addressing what Mike Schilt had to say after the game. The man is not concerned, or at least is going to continue to project a lack of long-term concern.
Yeah.
Zero concern.
Zero. Zero was his word. And he even said, no, we'll be in October where we want to be. No one forced him to say that.
No.
I don't believe anyone, even AJ, has a gun at his head going, you better say something nice about this team or, it's over for curtains for you. So he said that on his own volition. We can address what Mike Schilt had to say after one of the uglier losses of the season, at least scoreboard-wise for the Padres.
I think it's very important that we take that comment out of context and say that Mike Schilt guarantees a season run. A postseason appearance, at least.
Yeah,
he certainly believes it's going to happen.
Okay.
I don't think that he could deny that after what he said yesterday. So we'll go through the game and those comments. We will play our normal game of Take on Woods at 7:10, qualify someone for Las Vegas, and don't do this at 7:20. But it's also a giveaway Tuesday. We've got prizes galore, as it were. We have Padres tickets for Thursday's Padres-Brewers game that you can win a little bit later. And
it's German Heritage Night.
It's German Heritage Night.
Oh, great.
That's a theme game, though. If you want the German Heritage Limited Edition Padres hat, you'll need a theme game ticket for that.
Just playing the Scorpions all night. Scorpions, Kraftwerk. That's going to be great.
And we
Berlin,
have another
we love.
I don't think Berlin is a German band.
Berlin.
I think they just named Berlin.
They're called Berlin.
Rammstein.
Rammstein. Du hast nicht.
And then we also have another pair of tickets to the Doobie Brothers at North Island Credit Union Amphitheater.
They're from L.A.
Berlin.
Yeah, of course. And there's a German band called Los Angeles. They're really good. You guys will like them.
Santa Monica.
As speaking of bands, as promised yesterday, if you want to win the Doobie Brothers tickets, you have to listen for our sounder. This is just a reminder of what it sounds like. Don't call yet.
Don't call
yet.
Don't call.
But what a fool believes.
That's the actual Doobie Brothers right there singing one of their great hits, What a Fool Believes. When you hear that, call 833-288-0973 sometime between now and 10 a.m. for your chance to win two tickets to the Doobie Brothers on June 25th. Second half of the program, we will have Jesse Agler joining us, and it is National Jesse Day.
That's incredible, man.
So we will have an authentic Jesse to celebrate with us on National Jesse Day. We can talk about last week's Incorporator that I don't think ever happened, unless maybe we missed it.
And I don't think it ever happened.
We can talk about it with Jesse. And then Rondle Report in our 9 o'clock hour. And then we're off tomorrow. It's our golf tournament. It's a company holiday. So get your fill of Ben and Woods between now and 10 o'clock.
Everybody's off tomorrow.
Yeah, whole lineup. We will have a Padres game here tomorrow, the road trip finale in the morning. But other than that, no other programming from us tomorrow. So we won't be back until Thursday. So let's have a good show today. Let's have a fun show today. Let's have a spicy show today. And we'll start it out with our Padres wrap-up. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. 8 straight road losses for the team that was the best road team in the National League a week and a half ago. Make it make sense, Woods. Make it make some sense. That's our job, is to try to make sense of it all.
Can't help but, man.
We must not be very good at our job because I can't make sense of the San Diego Padres.
Obviously, we're not. What did you say? Your tweet that will haunt me, or your text? that will haunt me for the
rest. Nothing that we ever say about this team feels correct or meaningful or something to that effect.
It will haunt me for the rest of my life. What the F is it? How we text a lot. Jesus. I feel like nothing we ever say about this team is correct or meaningful. Yeah, it's almost impossible to cover this team. It has
good
been
or bad
for a couple of years. But
the second you really turn your
buy heat, in.
Oh, no, but the second you also wash your hands and go, there's just no way, they will show you signs of life and pull you back in and go, okay, now I remember why this team actually was in the wild card, you know, race and above 500 for the last couple of weeks, because they go on runs where they look pretty good at times.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them runs. There's little bursts, maybe.
Bursts,
tiny little sprints. Runs. I need a marathon. Even a half marathon would be fantastic.
Maybe a 5K.
The 5K,
Let's
Paulie.
Start with a 5K.
We'll start with a 5K and work our way up. Actually, I'll take a mile. 1 mile, which is one win.
Just a jog.
Just a nice, relaxing jog. I'd love to win today for the San Diego Padres. But, yeah, man, it is, you know, last night, you're out of it immediately. It's done.
Yesterday it was 0-0 for two innings, but it always felt like the tsunami was coming.
Oh, yeah.
Against Randy Vasquez. We'll go through it. Yesterday's 9-2 loss with our Padres wrap up. We'll get into that right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
First pitch to him, swung on, lined into left center field. He has found the gap. That's going to bounce down, hit up against the wall. Merrill plays it well. Bone being waved around third. Kim's relay is on the way to the plate. The tag, and he is out at home. Beautifully done by Merrill and Kim and Higashioka. And two down here in the bottom of the second. 2-0 pitch, swung on, hit in the air, deep to right center field. I'm going to forget it on this one, way, way, way back, and out of here for Schwarber. May have come down in the Padre bullpen. Hard to see. Absolute moonshot to right center for Schwarber. His 15th of the year. It's a two-run shot, and now 2-0 Phillies in the bottom of the third. 2-2 slow roller to the right side. That'll get the run home. Charged by Stott at second. Glove flip to first. Just in time to get Cronenworth. And he crosses the plate. An RBI ground out. And the Philly lead is now 3-1. Yeah, swung on. Hit in the air to left field. Very deep. Profar is back on the warning track. He is at the wall. Leaps up. Gonna go. Home run, Alec Bohm, a three-run shot, and now 60 runs batted in for the Philadelphia third baseman. They lead it 6-1. Pitch to Schwarber, hit in the air to right center field, deep again. Merrill's back at the wall and into the Philadelphia bullpen, his second home run of the night. Two-run shot in the third, another two-run shot here in the sixth. It is 8-1 Philadelphia. One, Solano in the air to right center field, well struck. Marsh into the gap, still going, on the move, won't get there. Bounces up on the warning track against the wall. Profar got a great read. He's going to score all the way from first base. An RBI double for Donovan Solano. And now 8-2 here in the seventh. First pitch swinging, sharp grounder to short, diving stop Turner. Flips to second one, Merrifield to first in time. A double play, and the ball game is over. Pretty much all-around dominance by the Phillies here tonight. They take game one of the series 9-2.
You know, long-term, zero. I have no concern about this club at all. I have complete confidence. You know, this too shall pass. You know, we're in a situation where today was the first game that's really gotten away from us in a almost all season, right? Every game's been right there.
What? Really? We lose like 9-1 or 10-1 to the Marlins.
Yeah, I looked back at it because I know a lot of people were not happy with that comment. There has been four games this year that really kind of got out of hand with the Padres. They were kind of bodied. The rest of the losses, you kind of make an argument that, yeah, they were in them late in the game, didn't come up with the hits, whatever. But
it hasn't been a major problem where the Padres have just been totally outclassed from the very beginning, never came back, never had a chance.
If it's four games, it's four games, but it ain't one game.
It's not an entirely accurate statement by Mike Shildt. It's not entirely wrong either. It definitely depends on what color glasses you put on, and we know what color glasses that Mike Shildt puts on.
It's wrong. To say that was the only game this year.
He said it was pretty much the only game.
You're arguing with my wife right now. I mean, again, it's not pretty much.
It's not entirely correct. It's not entirely wrong. And just, I'm trying to be fair to Mike Shildt because it's not. It hasn't been a major problem for the Padres. They haven't just been. Every game has been completely disastrous, and they just get bodied every game.
It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter if you lose by one or you lose by eight. You know, L's are L's, and you're not stacking dubs, and that's what you need to do. You know, the term I see a lot with Mike Shildt, and I think it's a fair discussion, is gaslighting. You know, you're telling me that I'm not seeing something. You're telling me what I'm seeing is wrong. I'm watching this with my own eyes, and no, I don't have 30 years in the great game. I don't. But I know enough to know what I'm seeing isn't good. And when you tell me I'm eating...
It's tough.
You tell me I'm eating steak, and I know that this is a hamburger. But you tell me that it's a filet. I know it's not. I know it's not. And you tell me, and you know what? I will defend him a little bit in this. He has the absolute right to say, I'm not concerned a bit. He has the right to say that, okay? I have the right. You have the right. You get as the fans. You have the right to say, "Well, I am concerned." And therein lies the headbutting between, you know, the two factions. I actually don't have a problem with him saying he's not concerned to the press. You know he's concerned. He's not a moron. Of course he's concerned. This is a guy, Ben, that is, like everybody, fighting, managing for his job. The funny thing about baseball is this. The majority of the players on the team, which is where I put 99.9% of responsibility, they're not fighting for a job. They're good. They're fine. They're going to have a job. You know, the majority of the 26-man roster. There's very few guys fighting for their lives out there. There's a few, absolutely. But for the most part, those guys, they got a gig. They know they're going to show up.
Jordan Profar, for example, he's playing for a contract next year.
They know they're going to be in the lineup, though. They know somebody's going to have them and pay them, you know. But for the most part, he's fighting for his life right now.
You know, I had this thought last night, and perhaps Mike Shildt is somewhat satisfied because the things that he said he wanted to see his team do, he wants them to put the ball in play, you know, hit more for average. He wants his pitchers to strike out guys and not walk guys.
Right.
Things that he says leads to victories. They are doing. Padres are still first in Major League Baseball in batting average. They're second. Their pitchers are second in strikeouts. They walk very few batters. These are the things that Mike Shildt says leads to winning baseball. And for the most part, that is usually an accurate statement. You know, teams that do that win. The Padres are doing those things, but they're not consistently winning.
No.
So the question is, why are these philosophies that normally lead to wins not leading to wins for the San Diego Padres?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I really don't know why they're not leading to wins. I know that the left-handed thing is now a thing. It's this year's runners in scoring position. It's this year's one-run ball game.
Giving up home runs has been a big problem.
Big,
the pitchers
big problem.
Give up too many home runs. Is that because Mike Shildt and Ruben Niebla want them to throw too many strikes? Because they want to, you know, be in the zone and strike out guys and not walk guys, they're throwing too many fat pitches. Randy Vasquez threw the fattest of fat pitches yesterday.
92 down the middle, center cut to Alec Bohm. I mean, every pitch he threw was meat. Just didn't have one single inch of movement on any of his pitches last night. I mean, that was BP for those guys. In a team that good, you cannot make mistakes. That many mistakes, you got pounded.
People get so mad when I mean, Corey goes, how could they be first in batting average? Because they are. They have a higher batting average than every other team in Major League Baseball. And yet, it doesn't necessarily translate. They're 10th in runs scored, so
right.
It's top
They're
half
top.
In baseball. They're not a... I mean, you can point, Mike Shildt can point to his offense and go, How can you say this is a bad offense? We're top 10 in run score. We're number one in batting average. The numbers back Mike Shildt up. What doesn't back it up is our feeling watching the games. And it doesn't feel like the Padres have a very good offense.
Yeah, I mean, Luis Arraez getting 2 to 3 hits a day. Profar having the start he does. It's the run differential thing. When you win 10 to 1, and then lose, 4 to 3, your run differential is pretty good. But it's all, you have to look, watch the games to know, and then look at your win-loss record.
Well, it's like when he says, we've won 7 out of 8 series, but when you only take 2 out of 3,
right.
And then you aren't counting, you get swept, it's like, well, it kind of erases a lot of that.
It does.
Puts you right back at 500.
Yeah, man, and again, look, here's the thing about Shildt, is that we've known this, we've seen it, he's never deviated, never. And I honestly don't think he's going to deviate from that positive message ever. I think they could lose 15 games in a row, and he's going to go, yeah, but did you see what Johnny Brito did? Did you see that slider he threw? That was nasty. That's what he does. I don't have a problem with it. The problem I have a problem with the players not playing well. That's it. You could put any skipper in there you want. If the guys aren't playing, you're not going to win baseball games. It doesn't matter how good your manager is. The Cubs went out and spent $40 million on the best manager in Craig Counsell. They're terrible. You know why? Because their bullpen sucks. You know why? Because they can't hit. That's why. Not Craig Counsell's fault. Just like this isn't Mike Shildt's fault. This falls on, go down the line, Manny Machado, Jay Cronenworth, Fernando Tatis Jr., Jerickson Profar, even as good as he's been. Down the line. Luis Campusano, Michael King, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, they're the ones who play the game. They're the ones who should get the praise, and they're the ones that should get the blame. I'm so happy and ready to heap praise upon the players. But again, no one changed. Mike Shildt, a skipper, does not change the narrative. Okay? He came in, a guy that wanted this gig really badly. He got the gig. And he's going to hold on to it like grim death. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit. He's going to be positive about his guys. He's never going to change. If you want him to get up there and rip his team publicly, he's not going to do it. I've asked him to do it. He won't do it. He will not do it. He says that he doesn't alibi, but he does. He alibis for his players. And I don't really have a problem with it. Because last night after that embarrassing 9-2 loss, you go to Twitter, and what are people tweeting about? They're tweeting about Mike Shildt. They're not tweeting about Randy Vasquez. They're not tweeting about, Manny or Tatis or anybody else. They're tweeting about Mike Shildt. He takes the heat for them and lets us all rip on him instead of the guys that are actually on the field.
Mike Shildt says the team will be where it needs to be in October. I think that statement, and we can play that audio when we come back, was pretty clear.
Yeah.
The question is, does Mike Shildt have the credibility to say that in the San Diego Padres organization? We'll be right back. 8 straight road losses for the team that was the best road team in the National League a week and a half ago. Make it make sense, Woods. Make it make some sense. That's our job, is to try to make sense of it all.
Can't alibi it, man.
We must not be very good at our job because I can't make sense of the San Diego Padres.
Obviously, we're not. And what did you say? Your tweet that will haunt me, or your text that will haunt me for the rest?
Nothing that we ever say about this team feels correct or meaningful or something to that effect.
It will haunt me for the rest of my life. What the F is it? God, we text a lot. Jesus. I feel like nothing we ever say about this team is correct or meaningful. Yeah, it's almost impossible to cover this team. It has
good
been
or bad
for a couple of years. But
the second you really turn
your heat in.
Oh, no, but the second you also wash your hands and go, there's just no way, they will show you signs of life and pull you back in and go, okay, now I remember why this team actually was in the wild card, race and above 500 for the last couple of weeks, because they go on runs where they look pretty good at times.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them runs. There's little bursts, maybe.
Bursts.
Yeah, bursts. Tiny little sprints. Runs. I need a marathon. Even a half marathon would be fantastic.
Maybe a 5K.
The 5K,
Let's
Paulie.
Start with a 5K.
Let's start with a 5K and work our way up. Actually, I'll take a mile. 1 mile, which is one win.
Just a jog.
Just a nice, relaxing jog. I'd love to win today for the San Diego Padres. But, yeah, man, it is, you know, last night, you're out of it immediately. It's done.
Yesterday felt, I mean, it was 0-0 for two innings, but it always felt like the tsunami was coming.
Oh, yeah.
Against Randy Vasquez. We'll go through it. Yesterday's 9-2 loss with our Padres wrap-up. We'll get into that right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame, it's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
First pitch to him, swung on, lined into left center field. He has found the gap. That's going to bounce down, hit up against the wall. Merrill plays it well, Bone being waved around third. Kim's relay is on the way to the plate. The tag, and he is out at home. Beautifully done by Merrill and Kim and Higashioka. And two down here in the bottom of the second. 2-0 pitch, swung on, hit in the air, deep to right center field. I'm going to forget it on this one, way, way, way back, and out of here for Schwarber. May have come down in the Padre bullpen. Hard to see. Absolute moonshot to right center for Schwarber. His 15th of the year. It's a two-run shot, and now 2-0 Phillies in the bottom of the third. 2-2 slow roller to the right side. That'll get the run home. Charged by Stott at second. Glove flip to first. Just in time to get Cronenworth. And he crosses the plate. An RBI ground out. And the Philly lead is now 3-1. Swung on. Hit in the air to left field. Very deep. Profar is back on the warning track. He is at the wall. Leaps up. Going to go. Home run, Alec Bohm. A three-run shot. And now 60 runs batted in for the Philadelphia third baseman. They lead it 6-1. Pitch to Schwarber, hit in the air to right center field, deep again. Merrill's back at the wall and into the Philadelphia bullpen, his second home run of the night. Two-run shot in the third, another two-run shot here in the sixth. It is 8-1 Philadelphia. One, Solano in the air to right center field, well struck. Marsh into the gap, still going, on the move, won't get there. Bounces up on the warning track against the wall. Profar got a great read. He's going to score all the way from first base. An RBI double for Donovan Solano. And now 8-2 here in the seventh. First pitch swinging, sharp grounder to short, diving stop Turner. Flips to second one, Merrifield to first in time, a double play, and the ball game is over. Pretty much all around dominance by the Phillies here tonight. They take game one of the series 9-2.
You know, long term zero. I have no concern about this club at all. I have complete confidence. You know, this too shall pass. You know, we're in a situation where we just, I mean, today was the first game that's really gotten away from us in a, almost all season, right? Every game's been right there.
What? Really? Hmm. Didn't we lose like 9-1 or 10-1 to the Marlins?
Yeah, I looked back at it because I know a lot of people were not happy with that comment. There has been four games this year that really kind of got out of hand with the Padres. They were kind of bodied. The rest of the losses, you kind of make an argument that, yeah, they were in them late in the game, didn't come up with the hits, whatever. But it hasn't been a major problem where the Padres have just been totally outclassed from the very beginning, never came back, never had a chance.
If
so
if it's four games,
I mean,
it's
games, not,
but it ain't one game.
It's not an entirely accurate statement by Mike Shildt. It's not entirely wrong either. It definitely depends on what color glasses you put on, and we know what color glasses that Mike Shildt puts on.
It's wrong. To say that was the only game this year.
He said it was pretty much the only game. Which is,
you're like,
I mean,
me arguing with my wife
right now.
I mean,
it's not
pretty much.
It's not entirely correct. It's not entirely wrong. And just, I'm trying to be fair to Mike Shildt because it's not, it hasn't been a major problem for the Padres. They haven't just been, every game has been completely disastrous, and they just get bodied every game.
It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter if you lose by one or you lose by eight. You know, L's are L's, and you're not stacking dubs, and that's what you need to do. You know, there the term I see a lot with Mike Schilt, and I think it's fair. It's a fair discussion. Is gaslighting? You know, you're telling me that I'm not seeing something. You're telling me what I'm seeing is wrong. I'm watching this with my own eyes, and no, I don't have 30 years in the great game. I don't. But I know enough to know what I'm seeing isn't good. And when you tell me I'm eating,
it's tough.
You tell me I'm eating steak, and I know that this is a hamburger. But you tell me that it's a filet. I know it's not. I know it's not. And you tell me, and you know what? I will defend him a little bit in this. He has the absolute right to say, I'm not concerned a bit. He has the right to say that, okay? I have the right, you have the right, you get as the fans, you have the right to say, well, I am concerned. And therein lies the headbutting between, you know, the two factions. I actually don't have a problem with him saying he's not concerned to the press. You know he's concerned. He's not a moron. Of course he's concerned. This is a guy, Ben, that is, like everybody, fighting, managing for his job. The funny thing about baseball is this. The majority of the players on the team, which is where I put 99.9% of responsibility, they're not fighting for a job. They're good. They're fine. They're going to have a job. You know, the majority of the 26-man roster. There's very few guys fighting for their lives out there. There's a few, absolutely. But for the most part, those guys, they got a gig. They know they're going to show up.
Jurickson Profar, for example, he's playing for a contract next year.
They know they're going to be in the lineup, though. They know somebody's going to have them and pay them, you know. But for the most part, he's fighting for his life right now.
You know,
now.
I had this thought last night, and perhaps Mike Schilt is somewhat satisfied because the things that he said he wanted to see his team do. He wants them to put the ball in play, you know, hit more for average. He wants his pitchers to strike out guys and not walk guys.
Right.
Things that he says leads to victories. They are doing. Padres are still first in Major League Baseball in batting average. They're second. Their pitchers are second in strikeouts. They walk very few batters. These are the things that Mike Schilt says leads to winning baseball. And for the most part, that is usually an accurate statement. You know, teams that do that win. The Padres are doing those things, but they're not consistently winning.
No.
So the question is, why are these philosophies that normally lead to wins not leading to wins for the San Diego Padres?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I really don't know why they're not leading to wins. I know that the left-handed thing is now a thing. It's this year's runners in scoring position. It's this year's one-run
giving up home runs has been a big problem.
Big,
the pitchers
big problem.
Give up too many home runs. Is that because Mike Schilt and Ruben Niebla want them to throw too many strikes? Because they want to, you know, be in the zone and strike out guys and not walk guys, they're throwing too many fat pitches. Randy Vasquez threw the fattest of fat pitches yesterday.
92 down the middle, center cut to Alec Bohm. I mean, every pitch he threw was meat. Just didn't have one single inch of movement on any of his pitches last night. I mean, that was BP for those guys. In a team that good, you cannot make mistakes. That many mistakes, you got pounded.
People get so mad when I mean, Corey goes, how could they be first in batting average? Because they are. They have a higher batting average than every other team in Major League Baseball. And yet, it doesn't necessarily translate. They're 10th in runs scored, so
right.
It's top
They're
half top. In baseball. They're
yeah.
not a... I mean, you can... Point Mike Schilt can point to his offense and go, how can you say this is a bad offense? We're top 10 in run score. We're number one in batting average. The numbers back Mike Schilt up. What doesn't back it up is our feeling watching the games. And it doesn't feel like the Padres have a very good offense.
Yeah, I mean, Luis Arraez getting 2 to 3 hits a day. Profar having the start he does. It's the run differential thing. When you win 10 to 1, and then lose, you know, 4 to 3, your run differential is pretty good. But it's all, you have to look, watch the game, just watch the games to know, and then look at your win-loss record.
Well, it's like when he says, oh, you know, we've won 7 out of 8 series, but when you only take 2 out of 3,
right.
And then you
get
in that eighth one that you aren't
swept.
Counting, you get swept, it's like, well, it kind of erases a lot of that.
It
puts you right back at .500.
Yeah, man, and again, look, here's the thing about Schilt, is that we've known this, we've seen it, he's never deviated, never. And I honestly don't think he's going to deviate from that positive message ever. I think they could lose 15 games in a row, and he's going to go, yeah, but did you see what Johnny Brito did? Did you see that slider he threw? That was nasty. That's what he does. I don't have a problem with it. The problem I have with, I have a problem with the players not playing well. That's it. You could, again, you could put any skipper in there you want. If the guys aren't playing, you're not going to win baseball games. Doesn't matter how good your manager is. The Cubs went out and spent $40 million on the best manager in Craig Counsell. They're terrible. You know why? Because their bullpen sucks. You know why? Because they can't hit. That's why. Not Craig Counsell's fault. Just like this isn't Mike Schilt's fault. This falls on, go down the line, Manny Machado, Jake Cronenworth, Fernando Tatis Jr., Jurickson Profar, even as good as he's been. Down the line, Luis Campusano, Michael King, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, they're the ones who play the game. They're the ones who should get the praise, and they're the ones that should get the blame. I'm so happy and ready to heap praise upon the players, but again, no one changed. Mike Schilt, a skipper, does not change the narrative, okay? He came in, a guy that wanted this gig really badly. He got the gig, and he's going to hold on to it like grim death. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit. He's going to be positive about his guys. He's never going to change. If you want him to get up there and rip his team publicly, he's not going to do them. I've asked him to do it. He won't do it. He will not do it. He says that he doesn't alibi, but he does. He alibis for his players. And I don't really have a problem with it, because last night after that embarrassing 9-2 loss, you go to Twitter, and what are people tweeting about? They're tweeting about Mike Schilt. They're not tweeting about Randy Vasquez. They're not tweeting about, you know, Manny or Tatis or anybody else. They're tweeting about Mike Schilt. He takes the heat for them and lets us all rip on him instead of the guys that are actually on the field.
Mike Schilt says the team will be where it needs to be in October. I think that statement, and we can play that audio when we come back, was pretty clear.
Yeah.
The question is, does Mike Schilt have the credibility to say that in the San Diego Padres organization? We'll be right back.